This morning we go to Psalm 18, and you'll notice a lot of familiar phrases in this as we look at it together. Well, let's pray together. Our Lord, we love you this morning. We're grateful, Lord, how you have been our rock, how you protected us, even as we come to church this morning, some driving through some drifts and maybe some ice. But Lord, there's much more that you protect us from. Some things that are worse than ice and snow. Things that threaten our existence on this planet. Some things that attack our souls. We're grateful, Lord, that we can stand on you, that we can even be in the shadow of your rock. And so, Lord, we ask you to guide us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So long ago, there was a man by the name of Patrick, who was 16 years of old, was in what we would call Britain today, and he was attacked. He and his family were attacked by some wild people from the north, known as the Irish, and they were wild up there in those days. We would call them barbarians. They were crazy people, and they were coming down and they were attacking people and bringing them back as prisoners. And Patrick went running through the streets. There was fire in the village. People were hollering and screaming. And finally, he got caught. And they threw him on a slave ship. They brought him home in Ireland, the east coast of Ireland. And there Patrick became a slave. He watched animals for the chief of the pirates. This guy was brutal. In the yard, on stakes, were the heads of his captors. And so he said, you know what, I don't want to become one of those guys. And he got serious about his faith. He wrote later that he thinks he prayed 100 times a day. He said, I prayed probably 100 times at night. He went there at 16. He was there. He just prayed for another 6 years or so. He was a lot like David in a way. David spent his life running. You remember at the very when we first meet David, he's just a shepherd boy. He's looking after animals. And Goliath comes against God's people. And Goliath threatens David with all of God's people. But David's a man after God's heart, even way back when he was young. And so he texts the Philistine in the power of the Lord. Later on, it's King Saul that's after him. The Lord had called him to be king, but King Saul is chasing him around the countryside. He's hiding in caves, running for his life. And then the Philistines continue after David and God's people, after he becomes king. And then later on, his own son comes after him. But through all of these times, in his ups and downs, as he began, David is a man after God's own heart. And we see that even in this psalm, which if you compare back to 2 Samuel, it looks like this psalm may have been among the last words of David as he reflected back on his life. What would it be like for us as we would reflect back on our lives to date, or our lives maybe when we're just getting ready to go to be with the Lord? Would we think of times of running from the enemies of our souls? Would we think of times of running from maybe the varmints from the past, maybe real people, or maybe just those that were of influence or circumstances that we happen to have been born into? Would we think of running from the varmints in our presence, maybe within, maybe without? Would we think of those that are yet to come? Would we think of situations that we went through as a church or as the church or as the people of God in this world? Or would we look at situations that we went through at work or at school or places that we were running from those that would come against us, spiritual forces or physical forces, people we knew or people that we didn't? Would we look back if we were writing the psalm about our lives? Would we look back and say, you know what, in those hardest of times, time after time after time, it was those things that sent me to seek after God's own heart. David said that's what happened to him. And he said, you know, in those times, I found God to be my superhero. Andrew, would you read those first 19 verses, please?
I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me, the torrents of destruction overwhelmed me, the cords of the grave coiled around me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked when the foundations of the mountains shook. It trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. Great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. You reached down from on high and took hold of me. You drew me out of deep waters. You rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me.
Thank you. So he came down. He came down from heaven. He was there in heaven. And David says, he heard me way up there. And he said he was angry with those who are coming against me. And he said he stepped onto a dark cloud and he rode the cherubim, the heavenly creatures. He snorted fire and smoke from his nostrils because I was trapped and I cried for help. It's like I had a noose around my neck and I was all tied up and bound and I needed to be rescued. And he heard me and he came. When I saw Goliath, he heard me cry out to him as I swung that slingshot around. When Saul was chasing me around like a madman in the caves, it was the Lord that met me there in the cave and protected me from Saul. When my own son Absalom took the throne from me and I was out there in the desert, It was the Lord that came down, and he reached down into the deep waters, like he went down, like he reached down to Moses and parted the Red Sea, like he parted the Jordan for Joshua. And he beat the big guys, the big varmints that were out there to get me. He beat Goliath. And Goliath came down, and Saul lost his life. And as much as it hurt, David says, my own son Absalom, who was so full of himself, got caught in the tree branches and lost his life. The Lord rescued me, he says. The Lord brought me to a spacious place. He brought me into those green pastures, those still waters. He restored my soul there. He took care of me there. And he says he did it because he delighted in me. The God of heaven, who oversees the whole universe, loved me. He cared for me. He took delight in me, the runt of the litter out there in the field, whom Samuel didn't even think was worth looking at as a king. When I was a kid, I remember going over to my aunt and uncle's house. They had a pool out back, and I was one of the older cousins, and we were out playing in the pool like we did all summer long. And all of a sudden, my cousin Jeff, who was a toddler, came toddling out of that screen door and toddled right into the pool. And like that, my Aunt Ruthie ran out of the pool, hopped in the pool. I can remember she was in her house coat, and she grabbed that little guy and got him up on the poolside. She did it because she loved him. It was her boy. And that little boy's lasted a long time. Do you know what? That's what God does for us. God rescues us. He hears our cries for help. He sees when we get into trouble. And he rushes down from heaven, and he jumps into the water, and he rescues us as he has his people for centuries. He's our superhero. He's better than all of them. I was wishing some of the kids were here today to hear, because they talk about the superheroes. You know what? He's better than anything that Marvel Comics has to offer. And it's not made up. It's for real. He descends from heaven and he helps us as his people. He's our superhero. But he's all, and in fact, he's the one who rescues us. Andrew, would you read those next verses, please?
The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I am not guilty of turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him, and I have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the devious you show yourself true. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help I can advance against a troop. My God, I can scale a wall.
So God rewards the faithful. He rescues us as we follow him, because we follow him. Back at the beginning of Luke, you remember when Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had no children, they were getting on in years. They had sought the Lord. And there at the very beginning of Luke, it says that the Lord came to them and they became the parents of John the Baptist to begin this big step in the plan of God because they kept the commandments of the Lord. And that's the general pattern of God. He shows himself faithful to those who are faithful to him. But it's by his grace. If you read this stuff, you think, David, did you really write this stuff? Were you like losing it at the end of your life or what, buddy? Like you weren't faithful to the Lord. What happened? What is with you? You had this pure heart at the beginning, maybe at the end, but there's a problem in the Lord was faithful to you because you were faithful. But this is the man who in Psalm 51 describes how he, like all of we who follow the Lord, know the grace of God. David messed up royally. He sinned against the Lord. He sinned against God's people. He sinned against Bathsheba. Took a man's life. But then he fell before the Lord and cried out for the mercy of God and relied on the sacrifices of God, which in the end would be realized actually not through the blood of bulls and goats, but through the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, through a son of David named Jesus, who would give his life for the world. And so he comes to the Lord. He's rewarded not because of what he has done, but because of the grace of God. And as God's grace then is at work in him as a forgiven man, then he cries out to the Lord to clean him up. And then the Lord, by his grace, works in him so that in the big picture of his life, he's faithful to God. And then in the big picture of his life, the Lord gives him success. And that's what God promises to us. Think back to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 is important because it sets up all 150 Psalms. And it talks about the two ways of life. The way of life of the person who follows the Lord. It says in there that we'll be like trees planted by rivers of water, and everything that we do will prosper. He's talking about a general pattern, as Solomon would in the Proverbs, the son of David. But those who don't follow the Lord, he says they're like the chaff which the wind blows away. It's all gone. It's over with. They fail in the big picture of life. But those who follow the Lord as a general pattern, no success in life. And the reason for this is because it's not about us. This life is not about us. In the narrative of human history that God began for his own glory, we sinned at the very beginning of time. But then the Lord said, I'm going to send a sacrifice. And he did send our Lord Jesus Christ, a son of David, as a sacrifice. But then he invites us now as the extended people of God to be part of those who follow him and show his glory to the nations. But it's all by grace and by faith alone. And we become part of this glorious story, which in the end will result in the glory of God. And so what he does, he rewards us. He's faithful to us. And in fact, he enables us to do supernatural exploits. Eugene Peterson, the man who translated, who did the paraphrase called The Message, renders verse 29 as, we can leap over wall. So Kelston and some of you others here, you guys were trained to leap over walls, right? Closest I got was a summer camping, an adventure thing, and we had a rope and we went up and we got on each other's shoulders. But you know what? Real soldiers and Marines, and maybe a few others are trained to leap over walls, to get over walls. And you can bet that there's some people over in Eastern Europe today that are doing all they can to leap over walls. And that's what David had to do as he ran around the countryside, from being a young man to being an old man to everywhere in between. He says, God, help me to leap over walls, to get beyond barriers that I couldn't normally get over. They were just impossible to get around. I had to get over those walls, and by the Spirit of God, by the grace of God, God helped me to leap over a wall. And that's what God helps us to do as His people. The Bible says that as the extended people of God, that the Spirit of God that came upon just the leaders in the days of David now fills us with Himself. And so whatever those impossible barriers are that we may have, they might be physical, they might be emotional, they might be family systems that we haven't inherited, that we have taken on through no fault of our own. They might be stupid things that we have done or others have done to us that just seem like impossible things to get around. For our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine that have a barrier that just seems crazy, but a barrier that God's people have known for centuries and throughout this history of humanity. Our Lord enables them. Our Lord enables us to leap over a wall, because He's the one who has come down to from heaven to rescue us. In fact, but you see, because it is not what He does it's who He is that makes this happen. And because of who He is and how He does things, He is perfect. And I noticed this morning that what it says here in verses 30 to 50 is that His ways are perfect. And we sometimes we look at our lives, we look at the history of this world, we say, God, I don't like it. I don't like what You're doing. But David, in the big picture of life, he says, Lord, even with the ways that I mess things up, the way that the world is messed up, he says, I see that Your ways are perfect. Andrew, would you read those verses, please?
As for God, His way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make Your saving help my shield. Your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. I pursued my enemies and overtook them. I did not turn back till they were destroyed. I crushed them so that they could not rise. They fell beneath my feet. You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me. You made my enemies turn their backs in flight, and I destroyed my foes. They cried for help, but there was no one to save them, to the Lord, but He did not answer. I beat them as fine as windblown dust. I trampled them like mud in the streets. You have delivered me from the attacks of the people. You have made me the head of nations. People I did not know now serve me. Foreigners cower before me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. They all lose heart. They come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man You rescued me. Therefore I will praise You, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of Your name. He gives His king great victories. He shows unfailing love to His anointed, to David and to his descendants forever.
His ways are perfect. His ways are perfect. And he invites us to be part of his plan through history, which he includes our story in his story as we follow him. So what he does is he strengthens us and he crushes our enemies. Now I want you to repeat after me. The United States is not the kingdom of God. Again, the United States is not the kingdom of God. The United States is not the kingdom of God. Is the United States the kingdom of God? Okay, good. All right. Let's try it the other way around. Repeat after me. The kingdom of God is not the United States. Okay, let's try it again. The kingdom of God is not the United States. You can say it with me. The kingdom of God is not the United States. So you say it one more time. The kingdom of God is not the United States. Is the kingdom of God the United States? Okay. Just want to make sure we got that. It's important. But here's what we do know. We do know that God hates evil. And it is not his will that evil and evil men and women continue in this world. You see, if you look at verse 25, an old commentator said that the opposite is true. The good are rewarded, but the wicked will not prosper forever. And so Mr. Hitler is gone. I'm sure for those who lived during his years that they wondered if he would ever be gone. He's over with. And Germany, by God's grace and mercy, is restored. Stalin is gone. Saddam Hussein is gone. And Vladimir Putin will one day be gone. The Lord will not allow him to continue, because God's plan does not include, in the big picture, in terms of eternity, Vladimir Putin. You see, what God's plan involves is something much more glorious than some despot heading up some empire for the glory of his name and for the furtherance of evil. The Lord imagines a time, the Lord has planned a time when his son, the son of David, would head up nations that King David could never have imagined. Even as David got to the end of his life, he said, I could have never imagined that all of this would happen. That God would give us success, even with my sin. But David, of course, and his descendants continued to fail. And the Lord took the nations from the reign of David for a while. But then he sent a son of David named Jesus. And as we continue the story of God through the end of time, we get to Revelation chapter 5. And we see the son of David gathering the nations to his throne, around his throne. And so all of the nations gather around him and proclaim him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now listen carefully. That's why we're here. as we talk about having someone in to talk about church planting in a couple of weeks, planting in South Central Pennsylvania. It's not just because we think it'd be nice to have more churches. It's because the Lord is gathering Pennsylvanians around His throne. And we can't stop it. We just have the joy of being part of it. And as we have someone in from Senegal in a couple of months. It's even more of a picture of what God is doing. We're moving in that direction. And we have the joy of being part of it. David says, when I look at this story, he says, he couldn't even imagine. He didn't even know what the rest of the planet looked like in that day. Never mind the people in Helam would be praising one of his descendants in 2022, along with brothers and sisters from Senegal and from a little bit north in Pennsylvania. And brothers and sisters, yes, in Ukraine and yes, in Russia today. And we don't understand how this is going to fit together. But the Lord will defeat His enemies, which may or may not be ours as in a political sense. But He will defeat His enemies. And one day, the Son of David will head up unimaginable nations. And so David says, you are my rock. You are my fortress. Lord, you're the shield. You're the one that's protected me all of these years as I've turned to you and given me success in the big picture of life. And I don't understand how all this fits together, but the Lord is nodding His head from heaven and saying, yeah, all those times that I rescued you. He said, it wasn't about you. I love you, buddy. I loved you. I jumped into the pool to save you. But He said, this is about my name and about my glory and about my plan in history, because it's one of your sons who is my son in a unique way that you will one day understand. And His name will be praised and all of the nations will worship Him. And so I'm your shield. I'm your horn like on a wild animal. I'm your stronghold. I'm the one that's protecting you because you are part of something that's much bigger than you could ever imagine. Old Patrick cried out to the Lord for 6 years. He says he prayed 100 times during the day. I think I said it was probably pretty near 100 times at night. Imagine living in that kind of an environment. In Ireland at the time, there had been some missions work that had been done by someone else, but very little. They really were a bunch of crazy people. Sorry, anybody who's Irish. They were not good people in those days. He got on a ship. He got back home after this vision in the night. But then he heard the Lord speaking some more, and the Lord was saying, I want you to go back. And Patrick, whom we know as St. Patrick, went back and proclaimed Christ to Ireland. And nobody knows how many of the stories that are told are true and how many are not. There's a record of St. Patrick's words, a letter that he wrote. But there's no doubt that he changed the island for the good of the kingdom of God, for the good of the people who lived there, for the good of Irish people and others who live here, for the good of those who went from there to proclaim Christ to other places. And so our Lord calls us to proclaim Him to this area and to the world and wherever He has called us to live and to be. Sometimes He calls us away from places we would rather be. Sometimes to take our lives into our hands as brothers and sisters have in other places. Sometimes to give our lives so that others might know and might be included in this great story, which will end in a day when there's no more sorrow, no more crying, and where Jesus reigns forever and ever. You see, we have hope. Because God is our rock. He is the one who rescues all of those who pursue Him by His grace with pure hearts. May it be so. May it be so this morning for us and all who follow Him. Won't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Oh Lord, would you guide us now, Lord, as we seek you together, Lord, for some of the barriers, some of the walls that are in our way. Lord, would you descend from heaven as we cry out to you, Lord, some in desperation, that you would help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.